Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. We are here with John Godwin. What can I say? How exciting is this? It doesn't get any better because I've been fishing with your combo. And so
awesome.
we had talked about it before ICAST, but you hadn't been on the show since it's come out. No. And so we want the dibs on this. Tell us all about it.
Well, it was, you know, partnered with B&M, and I was using B&M actually before we were even asked. You know, of course, the show opened a lot of doors, and but I still got a couple of them old spin casts because I love casting to them. And one day Jack said, "Why don't you design us a spin cast?" So I was pretty excited about it. It's pretty awesome to be asked to do something like that. And I knew what I wanted already from using several actions, several links. I knew I wanted a one piece because one piece it's got a different feel than two pieces. It's 7'6". It's one piece. It's got a real fast tip on it, but it's got stiff backbone. So you can boat flip 2-pounders if you want to.
Wow.
Sure does.
And so talk about the action of the rod, because action of the rod it really sets that rod apart, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a light action, they call it, and it comes back to about the third or fourth eye to where you can throw quarter ounce, you can throw 16th ounce, 32nd ounce with equal enthusiasm.
Right.
So you can really pop it and get it out there. And it gives it a great action coming through the water, too, when the fish grab it. When you're reeling and they grab at it, it's not something hard there. It kind of gives with them, so it gives you a little bit extra on that end.
How about the color combination? I heard from someone, maybe Kent, said that that this color combination was something special, you know, something that you wanted to continue.
Well, it was. I'm from Louisiana, so everybody says, "Are you LSU fun?" Well, I guess I am by fault, but that's Saints colors, so black and gold.
Black and gold. Yep, that's right. He's like, wheels got to match. Got to match the pole.
Yeah,
and
then
you went down to a lot of the detail of the information when it came to making the rod.
Yeah, I got the silicone carbide guides on it, and I wanted something real slick but something hard that would hold up.
Yep. So let's just talk about fishing. What if you were using that rod, what would you be casting? What, like, tell us about the weight.
Well,
know, size of the jig.
I'll use 32nds, I'll use 16ths, I'll use quarters. It don't matter. I'll use it a lot for live scoping. I'll do if they're not too spooky. If they're spooky, I cast to them. I try to get about, I'll wait till they're about 30 feet from me, and I'll start if they're spooky.
Right.
If they're not, I'll wait till they're about 25, and I'll kind of just underhand pitch, you know, like the old pitch.
Right.
And it's just perfect. And it's kind of, you get the same action as you do with a long pole dropping straight down, because what I'll do is I'll come real high over the top of them, and I'll open that bail. You open that bail, it'll go straight down, and I'll just stop it right on top of them. And that usually provokes a strike.
Yeah. So let's talk about your fishing endeavors. You have a guide service. Where are you? Which reservoirs you hanging out at?
I'm hanging out on Darbone right now. It's really a hot bite right now. And Caney Lake, it's a clear lake. It's got a lot of blackfish in it. It's more of a brush pile type fishing lake.
Right. And what's the distance of, like, what's the difference from one of those lakes to the other? It's not that far.
Well, Darbone, the distance ain't not very far at all. They're about 40, 45 minutes apart. And but the Caney Lake is a clear reservoir, man-made reservoir.
Right.
Well, Darbone is too, but Caney was built in the 80s or early 90s.
Right.
But it's more of a deeper lake, hilly in the hills, and like I say, brush pile and black crappie. And the Darbone, it was built in 62.
Right.
Back in the 1900s. And It's more of a dammed up bottom. So its average depth is, I would say, I don't know, 14 foot. It don't get real deep. It's got a river channel running through it. And in the wintertime, you can get on the edge of them river channels. And in the heat of the summer, too, and they'll congregate, you know, in the timber, old timber and different trees along that channel. But right now I'm catching them, and our water temperature is 80 degrees, and I'm catching them 8-9 foot.
Right.
On the 8-9 foot flat.
What happens, like, say, in when you start getting into August and September? Those are some tough months, right?
Well, they get back, but you can still catch them on the edge of that channel, but they'll get on that pole timber.
Right.
And start heading back towards them pockets where they spawned and look for them shad.
Are you still fishing jig head then, the light jig head, 1/32nd, 1/16 ounce?
Sure.
What kind of body are you using?
I'm using a lot of slab curly and a lot of crappie magnet baits.
All right.
So, and the roux ought to really shine this fall.
Uh-huh. What are you putting in the pocket of the roux?
I'm putting them slab bites in there.
Inside there?
Oh, yeah.
We should have brought one over. One of those jars. And I'm surprised they didn't, like, pitch one over. Yeah,
I know.
Pitch one over to
us. It's not like the crab magnet man ain't standing right over there.
That's exactly right. That's funny. So,
that eye hole jig, you can put one in the head and one in the belly of that roux, and even change colors of it, you know.
Right.
Make it contrast.
Is there a certain time where on those two reservoirs where scent really is the key? Like, you won't get a bite unless you're using the scent.
There's more.
Or they get picky.
More day, but yeah, when they start following that sucker to the boat, when you're using live scope, you put one of them slab bites on there and leave that scent trail. They ain't gonna come get it. I ain't gonna let it get away.
So in those reservoirs, if someone was to show up and go guiding with you, if they called you, what are you going to talk about when they call you? Are you going to figure out what they want to do, or how do you feel that?
Well, I just figure that you want to give the best experience for your client.
Right.
So you're going to want to go where they're going to bite.
Uh-huh.
So whichever lake they're biting the best, that's where I'm going to go.
Is it always like live scoping? Is everything live scoping?
No, I do long lining, and if they get to where they get too ornery, I'll put that flashlight on them for sure. Yeah. I'll put that live scope on them.
Talk about
which is fun. My dad says it's cheating, but I told him don't talk with his mouth full.
He has one too, on his boat.
No, but
long lining? Tell us about your boat, like. Tell us about your boat and how you set that up for long line, and where are the people going to sit in your boat? How many people?
I got 21-foot Sea Arc Flex.
Uh-huh.
It's the knee model Flex that come out, and I got rod holders in the back. I call it lazy fishing because you're sitting in the back, got your feet propped up on the chair.
Uh-huh.
You're watching your TV, your depth finder, and got a remote in your hand. So what else does a man need?
That's pretty much
it. Watching them post.
So your two clients sit in the back in two chairs.
They do, yeah.
And then you're
I'll
in the back.
I'll sit in the middle, kind of just watching them. But
you
just throw 1 mile an hour. I'll start at 1 mile an hour and see where the bite is with that. If I have to speed up, I know these guys in Mississippi, they go pretty fast, you know.
Right.
And I'll speed up or I'll slow down. If you get a lot of bumps, but they're not getting it, you can just bump it down to 1/10.
One
it makes
though.
All the difference in the world.
Really?
On speed, yeah.
What size jig heads are you pulling when you're long lining?
That depends on the depth of the fish.
Uh-huh.
So you get to where you're going to do your long lining, and you look around on your graph, and you just see where most of the fish are holding.
Right.
And like a 32nd, it'll go 3 feet deep at 1 mile an hour on a 6-pound line.
Okay.
You need to keep the same pound test line on all your reels,
right?
And that way you know where everybody's running. If they're holding 6 feet deep, I'm gonna use an 1/8 ounce because it'll go about, a 1/16 ounce because it's gonna run about 5 feet. If they're running 8 or 10, I'm going to use an 1/8 ounce because it goes 7 or 8.
Are you just That's using a single jig or are you double jigging?
I do because Darbone, man, it's such a minefield out there with stumps. Right. I know a lot of guys use doubles and like at Sardis out here, you know, it's wide open. So you, I would probably use tandems there,
It's wide open here.
Yeah, but
you run Darbone as many as you want.
It's a minefield. And, you know, in the summertime too, you can get over deeper water. When you see them ripples on top of the water, them little shad pods, that's them shad right on the surface. You can use 32nd ounce and it'll be, you know, right under the shad, but right above the crappie. Because them crappie are following them shad.
So what's the average depth you're catching those in when you're
long summertime?
Yeah, in the summertime.
2 or 3 feet, but I might be over 20 foot of water.
Right. Mm-hmm. And let's talk, what are you using for rods when they're sitting back there?
I'm using, when I'm long lining, I use the Duck Commander trolling poles. I'll use, closest to the motor, I'll use a 10-footer.
Okay.
And then I'll use a 12, my next pole's going to be 12-footer, and the next one's going to be 14.
Okay.
Because I want a 2-foot separation in that. So when I'm turning, you don't get so tangled up. Or when you're reeling in a fish, you know, that middle line gets to be, it gets to be tricky. You got one in the middle and you got to come between two lines.
So but, it's, and what size line are you using?
6 pound. Oh,
6 pounds.
So 6 pound. When I'm pulling crankbaits, I'll use 10 pound.
Oh.
SOS, crappie magnet.
You, when you're trolling crankbaits, what size are you using? Are you looking
like
for a square bill?
300.
A 300
like
deep
that.
Diver?
Yeah.
Yeah, inside there. So let's go with a couple tips. Let's do some summertime tips. Let's give them some
tips.
Let's just start with a rod and reel tip.
A rod and reel. Well, I gotta say the guide one.
Well,
I
didn't mean to set you up, but if you wanna if you wanna say that, you can. We'll tell them what size line they should put on it.
I use 6 pound.
Okay.
95% of the time, I'll use in clear lakes. I'll use 4 pound.
Mono.
Or
fluoro. Yeah. Mono. All right. And, high vis or not?
Not high vis.
Just your
clean Well, it's a combination. It's Jeff's line, that SOS.
Yeah.
So I don't, it's kind of got a tint to it, but not a lot. Just enough you can see it.
Right.
But it's not the fluorescent type.
Okay. Now let's give them a tip on boat. Like setting your boat up for if they wanted to try and troll. Let's say they go with you and they think that's a good idea, but you could give them a tip on setting up their boat, their Sea Ark.
They need to get some. That's right. Buy your Sea Ark and get you some Millennium rod holders.
Oh, there you go. But, well, that's a good. I forgot to ask you about rod holders.
I use Millennium, but you don't really. I mean, starting off, you want to know whether you're gonna like it. Am I gonna like this or not?
Right.
You can. All depth finders now have speed, you know, on it.
Right.
So you can just hold 2 poles out, and just you know, till you decide. But it's a lot more comfortable with a rod holder. Just any rod holder will do. Just as long as you know you got them out there and you just maintain your speed. And if you're when you turn, if you notice that your inside poles start catching fish and your outside poles don't.
Right.
Your inside poles, as you turn, like say you're turning left, your inside pole's gonna go slower and deeper. Your outside poles are gonna come up because they're gonna start going faster as you turn.
Right.
So that'll let you know whether you need to go faster or slower or deeper or shallower.
Right. Let's talk a little about lure colors, because when people go fishing, their first thing they're starting to think is most people have already decided what color they're going to use before they even get to the lake, before they even see what the water looks like.
Yeah.
Or they looked on Facebook, and the guy said, whoa, you should use tropical pink or something.
That's right. We caught them on that tropical pink yesterday. We tore them up.
But that's a made-up color. Just so you know, I just literally made that color up.
But it rained last night, and the water got muddy. So we use a lot of orange and chartreuses, isom, what do they call it? Trick or treat, the black and orange, and pretty dirty water. And in clear water, you want to use more shad type, shad colors, natural colors.
All right.
And if you are having trouble, if you're catching fish and you're having trouble, they start getting finicky on you, always scale down, go smaller.
Okay.
And try that.
All right. So last question on tips and things that'll help people to do it. You talked about using a curl tail bait, and then you talked about using a bait that doesn't have action, basically, right?
So I had to do that today.
Oh, how do you know when you're going to change from one to the other, or how do you set it up on your poles?
We was live scoping. I was using fence pin and a slab curly.
Right.
And we caught fish earlier, and the more the sun come up, the day got, you know, it was cloudy this morning, and then the sun popped out. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what it was, they would start following it to the trailer motor.
Right.
Same bait you was catching them on earlier. And all of a sudden, it just changed. So I picked up another rod. That's why you need to have more than one Godwin's.
Okay. All right. You just throw that out there.
Yeah. I had an eye hole jig on there with a roux on it. It's still a kind of a bulky bait, but not huge.
Right.
And it's just got the split tail, so there was no action. And we started catching them again.
All right.
They just didn't want no action to it.
All right. Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, has a complete line of hard and soft baits for everything. If you're bass fishing, to striper fishing, to walleye fishing, crappie fishing, you name it, they got a bait that can catch it. And they also have, of course, the very popular Pico crankbaits. And they come in 44 different colors in the deep diver, and then 14 different color patterns in the square bill, which is real popular, like, say, at Lake Washington in Mississippi.
Yeah.
We're in Mississippi right now. So you can check them out online at picolures.com. The Fishing Guide Podcast is also sponsored by B&M Poles. Of course, they have a complete line of rods for crappie fishing. They have so many crappie fishing rods, it's insane. You have to check those out. But they also have rods for catfishing. They got rods for trout fishing, saltwater, you name it. They got a rod that you can go fishing with and catch fish with. So make sure you check their rods out and all their products at bnmpoles.com. John, if they want to find out more about you, if they want to go to your guide service, where do they go?
GodwinGuides.com. I got a website. I got a calendar. Click on that, check availability, and find a day that's not booked, and let's go catch some fish.
There you go. There you have it. Like we always like to say, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lure's in the water.